Okay, so we are in Vayikra Perek Chaf Aleph. We are at Meforshim Day, over the course of Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph, of course, is the mitzvos that are specific for a Kohen Gadol, as well as the issues of who is considered a Baal Mum when it comes to these types of things. So, okay, so there is, as we discussed the other day, there is a, what are these prohibitions? So lacho sohap sulak rova elav pasuk gimel, right? He has to marry sister, he won't become tamei. And then lo yitama bal biyamav leheichalo. And then verse 4. Yeah, we got you covered over here.
All right, thank you.
We don't want to be blamed for if anything happens and you get up. So, so he's not allowed to become tamei to anybody, and then we already knew that. And then it also comments in Pasuk Dalev, lo yitama bal biyamav lehichalo, that a baal is not permitted to become tamei lehichalo to his. I don't know, how's it translated in lehichalo in Pasuk Dalev? Lo yitama bal biyamav lehichalo to his. Li Shto, Rashi says, what?
21.4.
Yes.
To one who desecrates him.
Okay, fine. So what is going on there? So Rashi explained yesterday, yeah, especially when the pasuk has already discussed that, right? We already mentioned that two and three pasukim earlier that he's not allowed to become tamei to people. So Rashi says, "Oh, Baal Biyamav is now including to his wife that is pasul to him, to his wife that he's not actually allowed to marry." Now it is interesting to keep in mind. This is when you learn through Maseches Yevamos. This is an issue that comes up, and that is what is the status of an attempted marriage between a kohen and somebody he's not allowed to marry. Meaning, Cohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. Right? He's not allowed to marry a divorcee. It's not.
Yeah, but the status is a good marriage.
Ah, so says Sam that it's a good marriage. And what if they do it? I mean, let's say the guy gives her kesef kedushas. I read mukadesha sleepet abazu. So the halach is that she will be considered married to him. They are halachically married, and all of the responsibilities of the husband to the wife, etc., are in effect. When would that not be the case? So what we consider arayos, the immoral relationship, so it says a man to his sister. So if a man says to his sister, arayah b'kudesh libet the bazu, so that would not be recognized as being a legal act. It just doesn't have any standing. So here, what do we do with the fact where after he... Oh, no!
That's the page.
Oh, you gotta...
Puzzle.
So what do we then do at the end of, so now you have a husband and wife who are married, they've been married for many years, and now she dies, so and it turns out he's a Kohen. So what's the status then? Is he permitted to be metame? Is he allowed to be involved with the burial of his wife like he is permitted to be involved with the burial of his wife if you know, a regular situation? So Rashi here is saying, we learn from here, no. Right, that she is that he would be mechalal to her, he would make himself chulin to her. So therefore, he is he wouldn't be permitted to go ahead and do that thing. So what brings about that halacha? So Rashi says, well, according to Rashi, it's this pasuk lo yitama bal biyamav, a bal. Right? How do we know that this has? Right? It just says a person in his nation. So how do we know it's talking specifically about a husband and a wife? So probably because I don't see any sifsei chacham here, but probably it's based on the idea baal, a man. I mean, who is a husband? The baal is usually the word for a husband. So he's not allowed to become tamei. So says Rashi. Ah, it must have something to do with. Well, actually, in this case, Taurus Kohenim and Gemara and Yevamos must have something to do with him with his status of being a husband. So this is probably what it's based on, this idea. Fine. The Sforno, however, by the way, the Rashbam adds in, Lehechalo, the Rashbam adds in, Sharei Mischalo Mikuhunaso, to she who has caused him chilul. Right? He is not allowed to become metame to that wife that caused him to lose his sanctity. Meaning he is not allowed to do his special mitzvahs of being a Kohen so long as he is married to her.
But he shouldn't have married her, you know.
He should not have married her, correct?
That's all my questions.
What?
If That's all my question was.
Okay. All right, he shouldn't have married her, and the fact that he did marry her caused him to lose his sanctity. So therefore, when ultimately she dies, he's not permitted to become Tameh on her behalf. That means he's not allowed to go to the funeral, which is a pretty wild thing. Now, generally, that's not the question that comes up, right? Usually, right, people that are going to be concerned about whether or not to go to the funeral aren't the people that have married, of Kohanim, that have married their wives who are not, weren't permitted to marry, right? But that would just be the halacha. I mean, these questions do come up. So anyway, so the Sforno comments, however, he has a different interpretation of how to understand at least Pshuto Shel Mikra. I mean, Rashi's din is that certainly the halacha, it's quoted, it's come from a Gemara in Yevamos.
Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei because it violates the Avoda, right?
Well, he's not allowed to become Tomei because the Torah said he's not allowed to become Tomei.
It's not associated with...
It's not... So that's actually... we didn't do it, but that's actually what the Ramban talks about in Pasuk Aleph that we skipped. That the idea... The Pasuk tells me, Yomar Hashem al-Moshe Amor el ha-Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Speak to the Kohanim, the b'nei Aaron. So the Ramban learns out, Ki b'mitzvos asher heim b'inyanei ha-Karbanos Yomar el Aaron v'el-Banav. That when it talks about the mitzvos having to do with the Karbanos, it was always, Yomar Hashem al-Moshe Deber el Aaron v'el-Banei Banav v'lemor. But here it says, V'lo yaskir b'shem Kohanim. They weren't called Kohanim because those things had to do with Karbanos, and that was the descendants of Aaron they were going to do. But here it specifically calls them Kohanim to bring the fact of Amakan Yazir Shalu Yitmu Bemes Liolam. Then I'll become Tamei Mes ever. I feel Beishaloyev of Mikdash. Even they wouldn't come to Mes of Mikdash. Vihi Maila Lehem Ba'atzmam. That's inherent in them. That's because they're a Kohen. Lekach Kisgar Kosov HaKohanim Leimur Bavor Shehem Kohani Hashem. Because they are priests of Hashem. Umisharasi Elohim. They serve Hashem. Yomer Lehem Shiasnu Bekavud Gagdula Ba'atzmam. That they should always, they always retain a status of keeping Kedusha, and they will not become Tameh forever. And therefore, Chalalim are excluded from this group. So yes, it is across the board, even if they're not involved with the Avoda at that time, and it's because they have an eternal status of Kohanim, not just when they are doing the Avoda. So anyway, so back to our Pasuk, and Pasuk Dalad, so the Sforno says, so Lo Yitma Baal Biyamav, Biyatam, Shlo Yitma HaKohen Ki'im LeKrovavhu. The reason why a Kohen is not permitted to become Tamei except for to his relatives, Ki'omnam HaKohen Hu Baal Biyamav LaHavinu LaHoros. Because the Kohen is the... I'm not sure how you translate it. Master is the Baal. He's in charge of paskening and learning, teaching and learning. Ki Sifse Kohen Yishmeru Das. Because the lips of the Kohen... are careful when it comes to knowledge. The Torah comes out from their mouths. So they have a specific job. Their job is to be not just the Kohanim, the priests, but to be the teachers and to be the ones in Kolal. They're the ones who are supposed to learn. The royal ish kazel linhog bin asiyus ki hechid lishtamin mile. Right? And it's a roy for such a person to act as like the ruler, ask as the nasi, act as somebody who has a position among Kal Yisrael. So therefore, Vein Roy she chalal hachnaso el mikdash v'kedoshim kedei l'chabit ha-mesim ha-bilti krovim. So therefore, it's fitting that he not denigrate himself to honor the dead. As we say, shakfura v'hesped l'meis, that these things are for the dead. But for his own relatives, that's his own kavod. I mean, to honor his relatives is a kavod for him. So you're actually raising the esteem of the Kohen by him being involved with the death of his own relatives. But if they're not his own relatives, that's somewhat denigrating to him. Now, that's what the Sforno says. So the Sforno says, and that's he is actually understanding Pshat and the Pasuk different. Lo yitama bal biyamav lehichalo. That why is it that we're so careful about the Kohanim? Then you shouldn't become Tamei, right? So Rashi said, oh, it's coming to tell you an additional halacha. The additional halacha that, even if he's married to a woman he's not supposed to, he's not allowed to be Matamei to her. The Sforno says, no. That's like a roundup of the Pesukim. It's concluding the idea. Why is it that the Kohen can't become Tamei to others? Because he is the Baal Biyamav. Because he has a leadership position amongst Klal Yisrael.
But if he married somebody who was... he was not entitled to, and she passes away. So he should be allowed to go to her funeral because his status as a Kohen...
Well, not anymore. She's dead.
So now he becomes restored.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. The halacha is, remember Schefter mentioned this in Shir, that when talking about this, remember he said, I think it was Bussman a Parsha Shir for Parsha Zemor. So I'm not sure what the source was. I was looking around on the page to see if it was here. That let's say Cohen is he's married to a divorcee, to a Grusha. And he comes to Baal Tshuva and he learns, you know, look at that, he's a shul on Shabbos and he's reading Parsha Sefer. Oh, look at that, I'm not allowed to marry a divorcee. But what am I supposed to do? I'm 80 years old already. She's, you know, she's 78. She's already, you know, what's going to be? So the halacha actually is, if he refrains from marital relations, if he says, all right, that's it, we're going to refrain from marital relations, that's sufficient. That already is enough. He doesn't actually have to divorce her. He just has to abstain from relations with her. So no, well, no. The short answer is absolutely positively not. There have been those that have tried to make that claim in the last couple of years to permit Kohanim to do this. I do not believe. I don't know of any basis that they have for doing so.
Let's say they find out when he's 30 years old.
That's a problem. Well, people make decisions in life. We've shared the story here of the of the guy, the Baal Tshuva.
Yeah, who's going to marry?
He's going to marry the Gioris that he brought in, and then
the girl who wound up breaking it off.
No. The boy is Jewish. The girl wasn't Jewish. They sent the girl to get a conversion. The girl got an Orthodox conversion. She says to the guy, "I'm not marrying you. You were going to marry. You're going to marry a non-Jew." So he becomes a Baal Tshuva, and now they're ready to get married. And then he goes to visit his grandparents' gravesite, and he sees that he's a Kohen. He finds out that he's a Kohen, so he's not allowed to marry her, but she's a Gioris. That's the story. It results that he didn't marry. The Rav Salvechik used that as the example of halachic heroism. That's what it means to be bound by halacha. That
so if a person is a Kohen and they're married to somebody who's not a Kohen, so what's the
what's the Eitza? The strict halacha Eitza is you got to get divorced. What do you do if you're the rabbi of a shul where these people are your members and they're sort of religious but not completely religious? You know, what do you do in that situation?
Give up.
You deal with it.
You don't give him the first aliyah.
Well, he certainly can't get the first aliyah, but he wasn't going to have the first aliyah anyway. You're not going to have first aliyah. He can't do Berachas Kohanim. He's not recognized. Look, I had a friend in yeshiva whose last name was Katz, who wasn't a Kohen. Why wasn't he a Kohen? So I never talked to him about it. But presumably, it's because something like that happened along the line.
Unless,
mm-hmm.
Oh. You said you can't lose the stats.
What?
You can't forgive.
You can't be mochel on your Kohen status. You know what? I'm going to give up on the Truma and the first Aliyah and the Berachas Kohanim because I like this girl. Right? That you can't do. But if you do marry the girl, the children have a status called chalalim. The children have the status of that they're not considered Kohanim. So this boy had either had somebody on the line someplace, is his father, grandfather, great grandfather, something along the line, married either a Gioris or a.
They broke the line. They broke the.
Right. So yes, such things happen. I was going to mention something, but I forgot it. Okay. So the Sforno then continues on and says, based on my pshat, if you understand that this is the sort of the conclusion, we can then understand the next section as well. I mean, the next pasuk we were very troubled with when we just learned Chumash and Rashi. But the next pasuk, hey, what does it tell you there? You're not allowed to make bald spots, you're not allowed to shave off your payas, and you're not allowed to... And nor are you allowed to cut yourselves. So what does that have to do with anything? Right? Those are specific, especially because those are not Kohen specific. Right? Those are mitzvahs that apply to all Jews. Right? So why is it specifically in the Parsha of Kohanim? So there is a halachic ramification to it, and that is if a person is in violation of these things, they also lose their status of Kohanim. So if somebody shows up in shul and they want to be considered a Kohen, but they have their payas shaved off, so probably they also shouldn't be getting the Kohen Aliyah doing Berachas Kohanim. But But the Sforno says, well, it fits in a little bit better here also, right? We don't, right, we will permit the Kohen to go to his relative's funeral, to become tummy for his relatives, because the kavod of the relatives is his kavod as well. However, lo yikrichu, however, even though the Torah permits you to become tummy for them, you're not allowed to do these things. These three things, the Sforno claims, are all relative to death. You're not allowed to make yourself baldless, you're not allowed to cut yourself, you're not allowed to pull off your hair, your payas, with regards to, as a way of mourning for the dead. So that is inappropriate, meaning there is a certain amount of recognition of the dead that is appropriate for a Kohen to do, but beyond that is already considered inappropriate. And that's what's going on in the next pasuk. It's giving you the examples of what is considered inappropriate. I would add in also the Kli Yakar here. The Kli Yakar on that pasuk of Lo Yikrichu Karcha B'Rosham, that one is not permitted to make these bald spots. Right? That why is it specific for a Kohen? Because a Kohen. Because who is the Kohen mourning for? So, in much likelihood, the Kohen is mourning for another Kohen, right? He's either mourning for his father, brother, son, or mother, who's an Ashes Kohen, or wife, who's also an Ashes Kohen, or daughter, who's a Bas Kohen, right? So perhaps one might think that while for the loss of a regular person, you would not be permitted to do these things, but says the Kli Yakar, maybe I would think that for a Kohen, where the stakes are so high and the loss is so deep, maybe I would be permitted to go ahead and observe these extra mourning practices. Which the Pasuk tells you, no, that's not the case. Even though they might have a higher status, one is not permitted to do those.
Husband doesn't say Kaddish.
Who would say Kaddish? Who said anything about Kaddish? But,
Well,
technically, the issue, Kaddish isn't relative here, but the issue of Kaddish is that, where does the idea come from? The idea of saying Kaddish comes from a medrash about children saying Kaddish for a parent. That's the basis for the minhag that Rabbi Akiva or someone finds somebody like moving wood around. They ask him, "What are you moving wood around for?" He says, "Oh, this is my job. I'm in charge of bringing wood for the fire of Gehenna." To which Rabbi Akiva says, "What? Like, wow, that's like a that's a pretty bad job, right? Is there any way that we can absolve you from this job?" To which he said, "Well, if my son would say Kaddish for me, if my descendants would say Kaddish for me, then I'd be absolved of this job." So that's the source for the idea of saying Kaddish. I think that's the main source for saying Kaddish, that it's to save the parent from Gehenna, which is why you only do it for 11 months, not 12 months. It's part of that story. So then it gets so the ideal is that a child says for the parent. That's the main halacha. Now, what do you then do about a person who doesn't have children? Right?
A child dies.
Right, so a child that dies is one who didn't have children, right? So what do we mean?
Right?
No,
I'm talking about, God forbid, my child dies.
Right.
Do I say Kaddish?
So if that child has children, so yes and no, meaning yes, and no, the technical halacha of that source would be that their child should be the one saying Kaddish for them. Now, would the other relative say it? So we say, yeah, I mean, the minhag is sort of developed to do so. But the main halacha is really that the child do it. What? But?
Sibling, you say Kaddish for them.
This is all the same thing. It's the same halacha. So Rabbi Cohn, I didn't talk to him about it, but it might be that he just, the real halacha is this, and it's not me. And my sons are saying, he has two sons, they're saying it, and therefore the halacha didn't apply to him. The
girls don't say
Kaddish? Girls could. Girls could. We do
yeah.
What?
When they come to a minyan, they can say Kaddish.
Yeah. I mean, we've had several women in our shul over the years have said Kaddish for significant amounts of time. What? We have one now.
Yeah.
Right, we have one now, but several over the years. She's not the first.
No,
so in the year at LMS.
What?
Here at
well, in my shul in Beth Hamedrash, I don't really know what the minhag is here. But I actually found the Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks in a tshuva that he has about mechitzos. He actually makes this mention of, yeah, and there were times when a woman would have to come into the men's section, like to say Kaddish, like took place in all the shuls in Litta. Like, what? Sounds like he's describing like the woman walking into the men's section to say Kaddish. It's like, that's interesting. Interesting historical tidbit. It's also well known that the Rav Salvechik, which is why I was a little surprised when it comes in, but it's well known that Rav Salvechik said Kaddish for his wife for like years following, like he just did, which is like so out of character. Rav Salvechik was the rational, strict halachic man being, but yet he after his wife died, apparently for a long time afterwards, he would just say Kaddish for her. And, no one wanted to ask him about it. Like, what are you doing? Okay.
Not supposed to wait for 11 months, actually.
Hmm?
After 11 months, they're really not supposed to wait for it.
Well, I mean, the minhag is not to between 11 and 12 months, right? So you could ask the Rav. I don't know. I mean, he did for years. Yeah, maybe he didn't after 11 and it took a month off. But for years he did. There's a...
How are you going to ask the Rav?
What?
How are you going to ask the Rav?
I don't know. Maybe Bruce has a way. I don't know. I don't have a way. There's a story that a few years after his wife died, he spoke at an RCA convention, and he said, I think that might actually be the one. He has in one of his essays, he talks about that he goes to his room at night. There's like a stormy night outside, and he went into his room, and like the window was open, and like there's like some description where he saw his wife there or something. Like he has some description of this idea, and I think he said this at an RCA convention, and one of the other Rebbeim like storms out of the room, just like, can he stop saying Kaddish for his wife already? It's been a couple of years. But anyways, to appreciate it, you really have to know the personalities that are involved in that story. All right, so the Torah here continues, where we have another description. Yishazu navel chaloli yikachum pasuk sayim yishag v'sham yishalo yikach na'ala married divorce yikadoshu leilohav. So it's further then adds here kol zera hakohunishu baal be'amav hu mekudash leilohav, that all of the seeds of the Kohen that is a baal be'amav, that is from his nation, is sanctified to his nation. And if he marries one of these women, he is yichalel es kvodu v'zaro, that he is mechalel his kavod and his seed. Shalo yaroi le'osa hakadush, that she is not fit for his kedusha, or that he shouldn't be fit, that she isn't fit for him in sanctity. So that's like a really challenging thing. What do we mean by that? A woman who's divorced, she has a lower level of kedusha. How do we work that out? But you know, that's what it is. There is a prohibition for Kohanim to do it. Got to work that out. Kohen is a higher level. Yeah. But what does that mean? That, okay, fine. So, but you're still saying that you're still making the same equation. Right, because of a Kohen status, he's not right. So, how do you work that out?
Not politically correct.
Today's day and age. Today's day and age. I mean, you have to throw half this book out. In today's day and age. Okay. So there is a. So the Ramban, we're running out of time here. The Ramban in Pasuk Yud Beis Yud Beis already is in the story of the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol says, "Umin Mikdash Lo Yitze, Lo Yichalel Es Mikdash Elohav, Ki Nezer Hashem Nishchas Elohav Elav Ani Hashem." That he can't leave the Mikdash, and he can't be Mechalel his office. Now this is a Kohen Gadol going to anybody's funeral, even one of his relatives. He's not allowed to be involved with death. He has to be separated from it. Now, the Ramban here has an interesting lengthy essay where he's trying to figure out what is the language of the pasuk is difficult. Is it what is the story for a Kohen Gadol? Is it a prohibition for a Kohen Gadol, or is it just not an obligation according to the Kohen Gadol to go to his father's funeral, for example?
Well,
right?
Well, sure, Caesar. Well, he can't. He's a Kohen. How can he go?
No, a relative of his father. Right, so Kohen is obligated to go. Right, that's what it says. The Kohen's obligated to go. And in fact, if the Kohen says, you know what, I'm not going to go, I'm going to stay here in the base of Mikdash and do my avoda, right, he's wrong. He's an onain. He has passed that avoda. If he brings a korban, that korban is considered an onain, as Sam knows from coming to our Zvachim Shir in Daf Yomi the last couple of weeks. Right, so he's no longer. So that's not allowed. So what about a Kohen Gadol? So a Kohen Gadol So he would be, his would be acceptable. How do we know his would be acceptable? He says, well, we actually have a story like that. That was the story when Aaron's sons passed away. Aaron still offered korbanos that day. He was the Kohen Gadol, and that was his requirement. But is it that he was permitted to, or is it that he is required to? Right? So that the Ramban has to work out, because it's relative to the Kohen. So you would think it's only one level up. So one level up from having to become Tameh is... it's optional to become Tameh. The Ramban seems to say, l'halacha, no, it is obligatory for a Kohen to become Tameh, and his avodah would be no good. And it's obligatory for a Kohen Gadol not to become Tameh, and he has to stay in the base of Mikdash and continue to do the avodah, and he's got to work that out based on Psukim, which he does over the course of Pasuk, of his commentary on Pasuk Yud Beis. Yeah, the Ramban also, it's interesting, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, I found, so in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it starts off, Yidver Hashem El Moshe Lemur, the Bela Aron Lemur, Ish Mizaracha, speak to Aaron, saying, a person from your seeds, L'dorosam, which has a mum. So the Ramban says, that's a different language than what we usually have these psukim as being introduced. Usually by the other psukim, it was introduced by saying, Da Ber El Aron V'El Banav. But here it's, Da Ber El Aron Lemur, Ish Mizaracha. So why would it be different? Midabel Aaron v'el banav is, you know, speak to Aaron and your children. These are the avodas that you're going to have to do. Here it's speak to Aaron saying, a person of your descendants that has a mum. Right, they're not going to be able to do the avoda. So Ramban says, because when Hashem wanted to instruct about their korbanos, so he says, Dabel Aaron v'el banav, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the avoda which you're going to do. But when it comes to the mumim, he says, speak to Aaron because he will have descendants that will have mumim. Will Aaron have a mum? Absolutely not. Chas v'shalom. Right, Aaron was a good-looking man, right? His sons also were. But the concern is that as the descendants are going to come along, so they're the ones that are going to have mumim. So therefore, the description is to Aaron about his descendants rather than a directive to Aaron and his sons about things that they're personally going to have to do and that they're going to personally have to be involved in.
Where was Pinchas? How is he related to Moses? To Aaron?
He was his nephew, I believe.
Yeah. But he was not a Kohen before.
No, he was made a Kohen. He was a nephew. And he was also... Pinchas ben Elazar. No, I'm sorry. Pinchas was Elazar's son. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. The reason why Pinchas wasn't a Kohen originally is because Elazar... only became a Kohen after Pinchas was born. So it was, Moshe, you're going to anoint Aaron and his children. Right. Pinchas was a baby, though, so he didn't get anointed. And any of their children are then also going to be Kohanim. But only their children that are born in the future. So Pinchas was sort of grandfathered out.
his father was...
Elazar, right. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron.
So he was a Kohen.
Right, but I'm saying he was only made a Kohen later on because when the original anointing took place, he was not anointed because he was a child. He wasn't amongst Aaron and his sons. And then the directive of their children will be Kohanim are only those children that will be born in the future. So Pinchas missed his chance because he was already, well, he had expired. I don't know. He was already out of the parsha. Yeah, so he got the special bracha to be added into the parsha later on.
But I guess that's, I was trying to make the association for why the wording is different.
Oh, I don't think I see what Pinchas.
I mean, the whole branch of the family. We're not Kohen, right?
Oh, no. So then Pinchas' sons all became Kohanim as well.
After that.
Right. Did he have... I don't know if he had children before. I don't know.
Those weren't Aaron and his sons.
No. They're all descendants of Aaron.
Okay.
All descendants of Aaron.
All right. So the I just add also. So the Kohen who has a mum shouldn't serve. So the Sforno says in Pasuk Yud Ches, "Do a mod l'shareis b'shem Hashem, to serve and to stand and serve in the name of Hashem." And this is similar to a pasuk in Megillas Esther when Esther yells out to Mordechai, "Go bring him clothing." Why? Ki ein lavo el shar hamelech bilvush sak. Plus, you can't come into the shar hamelech while you wearing sackcloth. So you got to look good when one's coming to serve a Kodesh Baruch. Okay, stop here with some other stuff. We'll see you next week.